That's the sound of money. A lot of money. And whether you're a fan or a foe of marijuana, the one thing you need to understand is that it is cash growing on a bush. It brings a lot of money into this country and into the state of California and into the county of Humboldt especially. The question is, how much money?
Millions and millions, if not billions.
I would say we're have to be reaching at least close to 50% of our income here.
It's hard. I'm not trying to be evasive here. I really don't know.
But based on the trickle-down impact, that's going to equate to close to $1 billion within the county.
I've heard estimates anywhere from 10 to 20% or higher.
At least 80% of the people in Southern Humboldt are involved somehow.
Down here, it's the only economy keeping all of these businesses open.
But we really just, we just don't know how big it is.
Hi, I'm Kim Kemp, and this is the Humboldt Chronicles, dispatches from marijuana country. We're going to try to get a handle on how much money marijuana brings into our little county each year. We'll be talking to an economist, a businesswoman, and a banker. And, of course, a grower. We'll go with them out into the great unknown and try and get some sense of the dollar amounts involved. We're going to talk about the anatomy of a price crash and how Prop 19, which attempted to legalize marijuana, affected this economy. First, let's start with someone who can add. Eric Eschker, economist from Humboldt State University. Let him give us some idea of how much money our county gets from cannabis. Producer Chuck Rogers sat down with maybe the only local academic who is looking at the macroeconomics of pot in Humboldt County.
Do you have any guesses as to what percentage of each dollar that is spent around here may be propped up by or contain marijuana-related money?
The quick answer is no.
Okay. And, what's the other answer?
Well, just by the nature of the industry, we can't look in a book for what was the production amounts, what was collected, taxes, payrolls, employment. That just doesn't exist, those data. Leading up to Prop 19, I was really hit with a barrage of requests by folks nationwide trying to ask me, how significant is marijuana production? How big is it? What fraction of people are employed in this industry? And we just don't know.
Let me repeat that. We just don't know. Yeah, that's about the best we can get out of the top expert on the subject. Having said that, though, Eschker is able to go on and make some good guesses.
The Humboldt County, roughly the economy, you're talking about $4 billion a year in terms of income that's produced. I've heard estimates anywhere from 10 to 20% or higher. Those sound believable to me, but those aren't my estimates.
10 to 20% of that $4 billion.
Right. You know, so that's a significant amount. But we really just, we just don't know how big it is.
Do we have any good guesses as to maybe how many of the local small businesses are supplemented by pot money? And if that went away, would those businesses still be able to employ the same number of people? Would they still be able to stay in business at all?
For any industry, there's a multiplier effect. And so if you take a significant industry and then remove it from the economy, you can imagine that there will be effects in addition to simply removing that income that's generated. And as you mentioned, people, supplemental incomes coming from that. If they're not earning money selling marijuana, producing marijuana, they aren't going to spend at the local car dealer, at the grocery store. So there are those multiplier effects.
Multiplier effect is impersonal. It's hard to wrap your mind around. So we went to Becky Crosland, owner of Cecil's, one of Garberville's best restaurants.
I don't think a caliber restaurant like we have would be able to survive in a town like Garberville if we did not have the marijuana industry money coming in. Our waitresses get tipped very well, and that then in turn helps them pay for their houses or pay for their children's schooling, you know, and it kind of elevates the status of waitress up to rather than somebody who's just kind of going from hand to mouth, to maybe being able to make something out of a position like that.
So not just business owners would lose money, but employees would suffer. In fact, says one pot grower,
there's not a single business in this county that doesn't make the majority of its money off of marijuana, first, second, or third hand.
Is that really true? What does Eric Eschker think?
In terms of the overall economy, again, we just don't know. I believe it to be fairly significant, including those multiplier effects. If you were to ask, what if marijuana were to go away completely in Humboldt County, without a doubt, that would be very noticeable, extremely noticeable.
It would be a local recession, depression, economically?
I think you could probably use the D word, depression, with that. That's what I would imagine.
The D word? Well, that's just one man's opinion, right? He doesn't have a lot of hard facts to back it up, right? We need some more input to really get a handle on what kind of money is sifting through the hands of folk here in Humboldt.
Well, growing up, I mean, you always knew it was there just because, you know, people in school. So you knew it was out there and it was available, but didn't really know how big it was in Humboldt County.
That's Jennifer Budwick. She's a banker who grew up here in the county. She set out to find out what the money impact of cannabis was on this area.
I really wanted it to be something that was informative to the bank's board of directors and to our senior management team. So the title of my paper is The Economic Impact to Humboldt County If Marijuana is Legalized.
To find this out, she had to first delve into the history.
People categorize as hippies that moved up to Northern California from San Francisco after the Haight-Ashbury days because land was cheap in Humboldt County. And it was a perfect place to grow, you know, based on the environment and so forth. So they would come up and they would buy land and then they would, you know, grow it for their own consumption. But as, you know, they had children and those children had children, they realized that there could be a lot of money made in the marijuana industry, because it did sell for so much in terms of, you know, based on what your cost was in comparison to what you could sell it for, there was a huge profit margin. It seems then from there, you had a lot of those second generation kids that realizing this started to grow more and more and more and get better at it.
She spent quite a bit of time researching the money aspect. Let's ask her what she found out, because, you know, being a banker, she knows how to add too.
Can I ask you to go back to kind of like the overview? How much money does you think Humboldt County gets from marijuana?
You know, it's very difficult to come up with an amount because it's going to be very subjective. There's very limited hard data out there. The first step was trying to define, you know, how much marijuana is being produced out there, and in turn, how much annual gross revenues that's actually generating. I have a table that I comprised using information provided by the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department that shows the total amount of plants seized in Humboldt County each year, you know, how many people were arrested, how much personal property was taken, how many weapons were seized at the site, and so forth. Taking that information from 2000 to 2010, it's very apparent that it has continually gone up. But even though those numbers have continued to go up, my guess is that maybe as a percentage, it's probably pretty consistent. And the reason I say that is because even though they're confiscating more every year, I think that the production has also gone up. First step was to determine how much is grown out there. Many think that it's about 1% to 2% in terms of how much marijuana is actually confiscated in Humboldt County compared to how much is grown.
For this, let's just assume that the cops are getting way more pot than they even say they're getting. Instead of the 1% to 2% they think they're getting, let's just take the biggest number, 10%. And let's take that super conservative number and extrapolate out from that.
Based on the 2010 number, it was 202,000 plants. I went ahead and I rounded that to 200,000 plants. And instead of using the 1% to 2% that was cited by quite a few sources, I went ahead and used 10% just to kind of take a conservative approach on it. And so if it was 10% that was gotten in 2010, that would equate to about 2 million plants grown in Humboldt County.
2 million plants. Let's see. Humboldt's population is just under 135,000. That's almost 15 plants for every man, woman, and child. That's a lot of pot. But wait a minute. Plants can differ radically in weight, particularly between indoor and outdoor plants. So how do you decide how many pounds each plant produces? So I know this isn't really her forte, but let's ask our banker what she thinks about this.
Realistically, I have no idea what that ratio is in terms of how many indoor plants are grown compared to outdoor plants being grown. I think that more is confiscated outdoor for two reasons. One, the gardens are larger. And two, on the public lands, they can just go in and they can take the plants without having to have any kind of search warrant.
So, for various reasons, she ended up using the ratio of indoor plants being 28% of that grown and outdoor plants being 72%.
Now, the indoor plants, from what I understand, you can get about 1 pound of marijuana per 10 plants, and you can get about 3 harvests per year.
Actually, many people do 4 or even 5 harvests a year. Still, let's go with her conservative estimate.
So I used an amount of $2,500 a pound because from what I understand, that's pretty close to what an ongoing value is in terms of what it can be sold for on a wholesale basis out there. Street value is going to be different, of course, but on a wholesale level.
I think that's
level,
a conservative estimate. But
$2,500, okay.
Now, again, we want to go with that conservative estimate. We don't want to overinflate the amount of money brought into this county by marijuana. Oh, no.
So taking the 28% of the indoor gardens times the 2 million plants, that equates to 560,000 plants. Dividing that by 10, because again, it takes 10 plants to equate to a pound, equals 56,000. And then multiplying that times 3 harvests per year equals about 168,000 pounds.
So that's a lot of numbers. Let's simplify it. Basically, what Jennifer's saying is, a quarter of the pot grown in Humboldt County is indoor. And if you bundle it all up, it reaches about 84 tons. 84 tons of indoor marijuana. How much money is that worth?
It comes up to $420 million. And again, that's just specific to indoor.
How appropriate that it's 420. So what about that outdoor? That's a whole bunch more money, right? Now, Budwick's going to roll some more numbers by us. Watch out.
So if there's actually 2 million plants that were grown, if we use 10% in using the same formula for outdoor, you figure 1 pound a plant. From what I understand, that really can vary. I mean, I've heard of 13 pounds a plant, 17 pounds on a plant. I can't even imagine what those must look like. They probably look like trees. But if you're looking at it, you know, in regards to average, from what I hear, a pound a plant is a pretty fair estimate. You only get the one harvest a year, though. And if you look at $1,500 a pound, because the outdoor does go for a little bit less than the indoor, then what that's going to equate to is taking 72% outdoor times the 2 million equals 1,440,000 plants. Let me actually look at the calculation. So,
told you she's got some big numbers. But basically, she's saying that those 1,440,000 plants, add a pound a plant and multiply that by about 1,500 per pound. That's the money that's brought into this county. And Jen, how much is that?
And you come up with about $2.6
billion. That's a huge number for a small county. Over half of Humboldt's trackable economy. And even that $2.6 billion is based on a stack of conservative estimates. Other people have other numbers, and who knows how much of whatever number stays in Humboldt. Remember, nobody has much data on this, not the growers, not the bankers, and certainly not local government who are in the same boat as growers. They have to plan their budget without having a clue how much money might come in. The money brought in from sales tax, property tax, it's linked to the shadow economy. Again, here's Chuck Rogers with economist Eric Eschker.
Given the lack of hard numbers, how do county governments, local school districts, whoever it is who's depending upon income, how do they plan for the future without the data?
They don't plan very well, I would say.
What do they do?
Right now, they could be expecting, if we think about some sort of eventual legalization, that if that were to happen, you could definitely see increased revenue on the production side, or maybe retail sales side, right? Sales tax. You can think of whole sorts of ways you could tax this industry. And much like you tax cigarette production and cigarette consumption.
That could generate some significant numbers at the state level.
One number that I saw that I believe came out of the legislative analyst's office, maybe it was Rand, I have to double check that, was in excess of $1 billion a year in terms of perhaps revenue.
Now, getting revenue from marijuana in the form of taxes doesn't happen now. Nonetheless, counties do get a secondhand boost. For instance, land taxes are based on prices paid for land, and marijuana is widely acknowledged to have inflated the value of local properties. So, oddly enough, even though marijuana is illegal, not only county supervisors, but even bankers pay attention to the price of pot. On some level, it's amusing to listen to a banker talk about the price of weed, but for this county, it's a serious economic reality.
One of the primary things that I found when I was doing this research is that the supply has gone up significantly, which has led to a huge glut in the market, which has led to a decrease in prices.
This decrease in prices points out an obvious fact. The marijuana market behaves like any other market. Like soybeans, gold, oil, it's got its ups and downs. This volatility is the wild card in Humboldt's economy. In fact, last spring, marijuana prices got as low as anyone can remember. After a break, we find out how low, and how did we get there, and what's the overall trend.
This program is underwritten by the Law Office of Peter Martin, fighting for civil rights in Humboldt County since 1990. And by Frumbolt, 100% from Humboldt at frumbolt.com. That's FRUMBOLDT. And by Emerald Triangle Products, creators of Humboldt County's own line of high-performance fertilizers. Find out more at emeraldtriangle.biz. Additional support comes from TrimScene Solutions, pro solutions for the perfect harvest. Trim machines, baggers, bubble bags, and more. Visit TrimScene online at trimscene.com.
You're listening to the Humboldt Chronicles, dispatches from marijuana country. I'm Kim Kemp. We've been finding out how marijuana prices affect everyone, from growers to government. But what happens when the price bottoms out? Here's local banker Jennifer Budwig, looking back over the last decade.
10 years ago, you had marijuana prices at, you know, roughly $5,000 a pound. And obviously that's going to vary depending upon if it's indoor or outdoor and the quality and so forth. And now I'm hearing that it's more like $1,500 a pound, $1,000 a pound. Some have even quoted as low as $800 a pound. So it has been slowly decreasing over time, but the reason being is because there's such a surplus on the market, and apparently that glut has been the reason for the decrease in the prices. There's several factors that attribute to that. Let me find that page, because this is really interesting to me, and I think it's that this is one of the things that is also going to be a big factor in going forward.
Budwig, being a money person, of course, is going to mention
supply and demand.
She has some other suggestions. First, let's go back about 15 years to when Prop 215 passed.
At that point, you know, it was definitely black market all the way, but that basically gave it a quasi-legal status. You could go and get a 215 card from a doctor, and then you could grow what some felt was legal. Even though it's still considered illegal in the eyes of the federal government, on a state level, it was basically gave it a quasi-legal status. So people didn't have that same fear.
Okay, so growers and users alike relaxed. Some grew more, smoked more maybe. But she said that there's another proposition more recently that made growers a little uptight. Prop 19, the proposition to legalize marijuana.
There was a lot of concern on growers that that was going to be kind of their last hurrah, because knowing that it was going to be, could be legalized, there's that fear that, you know, then the supply is going to further increase and you're going to have a further drop in prices.
There's that supply and demand thing we knew she'd have to bring up.
So what a lot of folks did was they doubled and tripled and quadrupled up the size of their crop, concerned that this was going to be their last year to really be able to grow and you know, make the comparable types of margins that they have historically. So that, again, attributed to the glut on the market.
Wait, she may be an expert in money, but I think we've got to turn to someone actually in the business to confirm there really was a glut. We need confirmation from someone who's experienced selling weed. Let's ask that grower we spoke to earlier. Okay, so what do you want to be known as?
I don't know. You can make something up.
You won't like it. It'll be Horton.
I like Horton. That's a good one. And it wouldn't accidentally get pinned on anyone we know, because I don't know a Horton.
Do not know one.
As you can probably tell, we had to scramble her voice. She's well known in the community. She's a mom. She's gone to school there.
I've lived here all my life. I was born in Garberville Hospital here in town. And I've been in the marijuana business since I was 19 years old. So 20 some odd years. At that point in time, it seemed like the best way to stay in this area and be able to make enough money to maybe someday own a home. In the early 90s, pot was $5,000 a pound.
Hey, look, Horton's the grower and Budwood the banker are using almost the same numbers.
It was a lot of money. It was a lot of money. Duffel bags full of money. And it comes in so fast.
But things changed. Just like our banker said, I asked Hortons.
What are prices nowadays?
Well, I've seen people taking as little as $800 for outdoor. Still in the 2000s for indoor, decent indoor. $2,500. Some people, as much as $3,200. It fluctuates.
Whoa. Notice, Budwig and Hortons are giving almost the exact same answer.
When prices dropped and the price for everything else went up, I've made less and less money. It became a struggle. At that point, it's either expand so that you can make enough to continue to pay the bills that you have to pay, and then that can be scary. It's dropped tremendously. Not only has it dropped, the price of trimming went up. When the price of pounds went up, the price of trimming went up. And then the price of pounds went back down. The price of trimming didn't go back down. Price of diesel's gone up.
There's that doubling, tripling, and quadrupling Budwig mentioned. Not only that, but our grower says that the duffel bags full of money she talked about earlier, they brought in more growers to the business.
So that's put a lot of neophytes, a lot of baby dope growers at are just jumping in, and that, of course, throws a lot of fluctuation in the market. And then there's the people that come up and grow the monster grows, and then they've got hundreds and hundreds of pounds, so they'll sell it dirt cheap if they can sell it all at once. So that throws the market off.
Banker and grower are in agreement about that supply and demand, and about the glut. Budwig thinks there is at least one other important factor changing up the landscape.
This seems to be a pretty significant factor. In 2009, President Obama signed a directive to the U.S. Department of Justice for them to defer to state laws regarding medical marijuana use. What this did was it basically took away the fear that the DEA was really going to be a problem in going forward. I think what this is basically saying is, as long as you comply with state law, you're not going to be bothered by the DEA. So a lot of people took this as the green light to, okay, you know, we're safe. We're not going to have to be concerned about that. That directive being signed was pretty significant. And so I think that further led to probably more people growing larger amounts and so forth.
So Budwig and the grower said these factors led to a drop in prices. But does this really matter much to individuals here in Humboldt County?
As one business owner I was talking to quoted, he said, we're all in the marijuana business, whether we want to be or not. You know, because there is probably not one person in this county that is not in some way impacted by the money that is generated from marijuana sales.
Now, when we talked to Budwig last spring, the Obama administration's attitude was contributing to the drop in prices. They had basically said, look, we're not going to prosecute anyone who is doing regular medical marijuana. We're only going to prosecute people who are doing it for profit. But nothing is constant in the cannabis business. So the national government, they've totally flipped now. They've gone completely the other direction. They're saying, Zamobamo, we're after you. Just recently, California's four U.S. attorneys announced a plan to use federal law to destroy the burgeoning medical marijuana industry. The industry part. They've gone after dispensaries across the state, and in an apparent attempt to frighten growers, the DEA raided Matt Cohen.
Matt Cohen is one of the county's most successful horticulturists.
Matthew Cohen cultivates medicinal marijuana on a 10-acre farm set amid rolling vineyards in Northern California,
producing premium, organic marijuana.
Matt Cohen, the poster child for Mendocino's zip tie program? This is the same Matt Cohen who was one of the very first growers to step up with law enforcement and work out a program which, for a fee, allows a certain number of marijuana plants to be grown as long as the garden follows guidelines and passes inspection provided by local law enforcement.
The red band shows each one of these plants has been inspected by a sheriff's deputy who's more used to ripping out pot plants than certifying them.
And this is the first guy they go after.
On October 13th, heavily armed federal agents stormed his compound.
Our dog started barking, and then I looked out the window and saw four or five federal agent vehicles. You could tell with the blacked out windows and the blacked out rims come cruising in here.
So the times, they've changed. The federal government is now going after the landlords of growers and the landlords of dispensaries and even the banks of the cannabis businesses. However, in spite of the federal government's resistance, California is not the only state moving towards some form of legalization. 16 states, including Washington, D.C., have some form of medical exemption for cannabis. And another group of states, like New York, have decriminalized possession of small amounts. So things are clearly changing. In spite of all this fluctuation, the lack of data, what do the business people, the policy wonks, and practically everybody else in Humboldt County, what do they do in the face of all these changes? Let's go to Eric Eschger again.
The next few years are probably very important here in Humboldt County, deciding whether or not we want to embrace this industry openly and think and accommodate maybe large-scale production and also the more specialty craft production. That's a discussion that has to happen here, and I don't know what the outcome of that is going to be. I can imagine a story where people are wanting to continue to be fairly closed about it, and I don't know if that's going to be a successful strategy. It also might be the case that it might be very difficult to compete if other regions that are nearer to the population centers, we may not even be able to compete with that. Having discussions with policymakers and people involved in the industry are really important. So the next few years, I think, will be very important.
Eschger thinks he might be able to provide some better data soon.
I just wanted to share with you a few initiatives that we're working on right now. I'm the director of the Humboldt Economic Index, and what we're trying to regularly collect some data. I think we'll be able to make a start in that and tracking this industry to some degree. So that's something to look forward to in the near future, but we're still working with the data providers right now and trying to...
He means growers.
So the university is working on this, and we're really trying to measure that. I think we're taking our first steps with this, trying to come up with some hard numbers.
Have any of the policy folks been amenable to this? Are they? Have you talked with some of them? Are they?
Yeah, no, I've talked with policy people about this, and county supervisors and that have come to me and said, How big is it? Asking the same questions you've been. And we're working on that. We're working on that. Hopefully in next year or two, I'll have something to start reporting regularly. But we're trying to find some data providers to give us some regular numbers that we can use.
Well, when you start reporting, let us know.
I will do that.
Hopefully, we'll get some numbers on that soon. Secrecy and instability are creating a climate in which planners can't plan, no matter if they're in government or in business. Hortons is an example of what happens when planning can't happen. Remember those duffel bags full of cash?
So, do you have a whole lot of that money left?
I don't have any of that money left. As a matter of fact, I have a whole lot of debt. When you don't expect for, you don't plan for a future and you don't think about market change, you might buy things and borrow money that you think you're going to have later, and then things change and you don't have that kind of money anymore, but you still have to pay those kind of bills.
That's the sound of money. A whole lot of money. Money from marijuana, which possibly pumps billions of dollars into the county of Humboldt. Someday, the cash drawer isn't going to open as often. Will Humboldt be prepared? What will growers do? This is the Humboldt Chronicles, dispatches from marijuana country. I'm Kim Kemp with Chuck Rogers. Thanks for being with us.
The Humboldt Chronicles is produced by Kim Kemp, Chuck Rogers, and Mike Dronkers. Patrick Cleary is executive producer. Written by Kim Kemp and edited by Mike Dronkers. Our intern is Alfred Esparza. Thanks to Eric Eschker, Jennifer Budwig, and Becky Crossland. Learn more about the issues, the news clips, music used in the episode, and connect with others at LostCoastOutpost.com. This is a Lost Coast Communications production.